Did you know only 0.4% of our 396,000 monthly Joy listeners support us financially? If you love what we do, please show your support this Radiothon. Allies, there's a new way to show your love. Did you vote yes for marriage equality? Continue to show your support for the LGBTI community. Become an out loud ally of Joy. Receive bragging rights and a pack of Joy Out Loud Ally badges to wear proudly. Head to joy.org.au and click the Ally button on the homepage.
Welcome to the post-Pride game edition of Chicks Talking Footy. You're with Fee, that's me. I have on the panel with me this evening, Motti.
Hello, this is Motti.
Hello, this is Motti. And Beck, who's just arrived from the after party from straight into the studios.
That's correct,
Beck,
I have.
Beck Dahl, who you also, you know, got up after the Pride game and did another Pride game.
Mate, I was Pride gaming my little butt off.
Rainbows are oozing out of your skin.
There's a visual.
That no one needs.
No one needs. Now, we've had about 1,500 memberships come in, actually, in the last literally 5-10 minutes.
So that's our show, basically. That's we're just going to read everyone's name out.
We are going to spend the whole show. So, as you know, it's still kind of radiothon time here at Joy, and we're asking for your donations. We've got a whole team of people out there eating pizza and ringing people to renew their membership.
Not concurrently. You don't talk while
well,
you've got your mouth
don't
full.
Talk while you're eating. Can I quickly read out?
Yes.
Go ahead, caller.
I've got to do it quickly. George from Fitzroy North, Susan from Seabrook, Vicky from Fitzroy North, and Antonella from Thornbury, Grant from Gordon, Steve from Epping, Brian from Brunswick West, Jamie from South Yarra, Shane from Melbourne, Henry from Fitzroy, and John from Footscray.
I've got a game to play with the sign-ups.
What?
Well, you can randomly just do send them to us or say them to Beck and I, and we have to come up with a player's name.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, that's okay.
Henry, Playfair.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
I like it.
Women as well. We know now that we have an AFLW.
Yeah,
it's great. Equality.
Meg Hutchins.
Correct.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, happy retirement,
yeah.
Meg Hutchins.
Yeah, happy retirement,
what
Meg.
A legend of the game, retired today. But good news is, playing for the Hawks VFLW.
Who
is she really? And is she, does she have a job at the Hawks?
Not sure about that. Okay. I don't think so, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because she is...
Well, if she doesn't, she should have, because she's right. Excellent.
I'll talk to the club. So, of course, it was bye round, and it's still bye round.
Yeah.
So there's less games to talk about on the show today, but supporting the bye community.
That's
well,
nice.
Exactly.
You know, so...
With a whole round.
Everyone's a winner here.
That's right. We've got to represent our alphabet. It was the M&D Ice Challenge, Ice Bath, what do you call it, Ice Slide Challenge?
Big freeze at the
Big
G.
Big freeze at the yeah. G, thank you. And we'll talk about some of the coaches' outfits and shenanigans.
Oh, I loved it.
I loved it.
Oh, I loved it. I really did
it. Was
love
so
it.
Good. Of course, Gil had his annual dinner.
Oh, I got a lot of thoughts around that.
Yeah, last year we did a hashtag Ask Gil. Like, if you were at Gil's house for dinner, what would you ask him?
I'm going to take it out into the more sort of, you know, entertainment side of the night. But last year we talked about the food. We thought, you know, maybe steak with a little red wine jus and a sort of some sort of chocolatey self-sourcing pudding.
I do like a
couple of bottles of Grange.
One of the Carlton, I think it was, delivered a whole pack of slabs to Gil's house, left them out the front
for that party.
Yeah.
Well, see that's the thing. What we can talk about what each coach would have taken as a gift.
Oh.
You know, maybe a little nice gift to Mrs. Gil for saying thanks for going out for the night and letting us have your place.
Do you reckon she was there?
Yeah, I reckon. Wouldn't
no, she? Would you be? Oh, you would, Beck. Sorry, oh, dumb question.
What are you talking about?
What's
Gil's last name?
Mrs. Gil.
Lady
Mrs. Gil. Mrs. Gil. Now, women aren't just identified by who their husbands
no,
are.
No, but...
So much for being a feminist show.
No, it's a request. She prefers to remain anonymous.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, she rang earlier. She said, happy to be going as Mrs. Gil. Don't say my name on
no.
here.
Motti. I don't think that's true.
Motti.
But anyway...
Yeah. Motti, here's a challenge for your first one.
Okay.
Doxy from Williamstown.
Okay, Dox.
Are there any AFL players called Dox?
Can you make anything
well, Dockers, Fremantle Dockers.
Or
Doxies.
Or the new AFLW Crows coach Matthew Clark, his nickname's Doc.
See, well, but how do you spell doxie from Williamstown?
G-O-X-I-E.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant. We can still make it as it sounds.
Yeah, all right. So I'm happy with that. Yeah, Dockers and Matthew Clark, good. I believe,
geez, if you can make a football name out of that, I'm proud. So keep the memberships coming in. Let's see what we can do with your names. You might get a call from one of our lovely volunteers, although currently more pizza is being eaten than calls are being made.
There is a lot of pizza and there's a lot of it being eaten.
But
and
you
we're
can
jealous.
Renew your own membership on joy.org.au. So there you go. So there was some games played in bye round. And
Friday night.
Yes, Friday night. Now, that was played in Adelaide. Port versus the Tigers.
Can I say, as a Crows supporter, watching Port play the Tigers is my idea of personal hell.
I know. Well, it's like, who do you hate less?
I couldn't even.
You can't answer.
No. Do you think, not for this game, but do you think we should go to Adelaide Oval as an excursion? I would love to see a game there.
Oh, yeah.
Is it really good?
Yeah, it's great. It's a great, great location.
You can walk from the city.
Would Anne Dahl sort of billet us out?
Oh, she would host, sure. She loves to host.
We'd be on air mattresses.
Well, she might be working at the club soon enough. So.
Well, I think she will, actually. She's retiring at the end of the year.
Well, she can produce our show in Adelaide.
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Gill's name is Laura.
Laura Gill.
Yep.
Well, we know for a fact that Gill has a latte no sugar because he sat near me at the footy and that's what he had.
Mm.
So that's an actual fact.
It's a pretty boring drink.
Anyway. Port beat Richmond, which I tipped,
yes.
So that was
which,
nice.
Which, you know, you kind of, it was a win-lose for you, really, literally.
Did you tip that?
Yeah.
No way would I
know.
Well, you tipped Port.
And you tipped Port.
In Adelaide Oval, yeah.
Yeah, see, my tipping wasn't so good last round.
I tipped the Tiggies.
I don't think that. I mean, look, I think Richmond's still good. I think Port
They don't play well in Adelaide Oval, though,
no,
do they?
No, they don't. They don't.
What's the wrong with the shape? Kind of different? What's going on?
I don't know, maybe it's
they're not used to no one roaring for them.
All the South Australian accents confuse them.
Yeah, there's heaps cool. Mm.
Or they just can't be bothered.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway.
I mean, Breezer was hot on it. She was like, doesn't matter, you know, all cool, had a few people out, don't worry, no one's worried.
We look to Breezer to be worried, I reckon, about the Tigers. You know when you go on a plane and you're like, if the air hostess is nervous, I'm nervous? Yeah. If Bree was nervous about the Tigers, I think there'd be something to worry about.
Yeah.
Well, although, speaking of planes, we went on a holiday with my nursing friends when I was a nurse. Yes, that's right. A lot of years ago.
Before you were a famous radio personality.
Yes, exactly. My friend Jackie's dad, as we're about to get on, says, hey, girls, when you're on the plane, don't call out, hi, Jack.
Oh, Jackie's dad.
Des, we went, good on you, Des. Anyway, bye.
Yeah, we're making all sorts of things out of names on Chicks Talking
well
Footy tonight.
Des, winner.
But back to the games. It was the Scott Cup, really, wasn't it? The Cats versus North.
The Crays.
It's the twin Cup.
That's what they used to call them, didn't they? The Cray brothers when they were playing at Brisbane.
I've literally never heard that.
Reggie and, you know, the British crims from about the 60s. Reggie and someone Cray.
Yeah.
I'll find it for you in the break.
Please do.
They used to call them the Crays, I'm sure.
Posted on the... on the Book of Faces. But, yes, obviously the Cats came out on top with that one.
I'm confused by Geelong. I can't work out if they're good or not.
They've had an up-and-down season, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, it is fair to say.
But they've lost quite a few games very narrowly as well. So
They're 20% better, I reckon, at Geelong.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're more likely to be 20% better.
For sure.
And I think North have been playing really well. Really well. Shawnee Higgins is amazing.
The thing that worries me about North, well, not worries me, I don't really care, but I don't think they've got a lot of depth. I think if they had an injury or two, they would be cactus.
North.
Yeah, they'd be south.
Well, if Ben Brown got injured, they would be, wouldn't they?
No, well, they've got Jared Waite. You know, well, if he hasn't whacked someone or...
Yeah, well, that's right. He's either injured or suspended.
Yeah.
But anyway, North lost that game. Giants versus the Suns. What a boring game that was on so many levels.
Well, I think the Giants answered some critics, did they? Or is it just that it's the Suns and so it doesn't mean anything?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a 108-point win.
That's enormous.
They only kicked 4 goals for the whole, you know, game.
It's pretty bad, isn't it?
It's just, I mean, who wants to watch a game like that?
So the expansion clubs are really succeeding at present.
Yes. Ugh. Well, actually, I think the Gold Coast has officially asked for help, priority drafting.
Have a listen to, his name's Tony Cochran, the president of the Gold Coast Suns. He was on SEN with Waitley yesterday. Oh, my God. Fighting words.
Yeah. Right.
He was going so hard, you know, in defending his club and all that sort of stuff, but it was full on. Like, he's like, nah, we're on the right track. Yeah, he was certainly up on his toes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, the next game was almost equally as lopsided, but we were having fun at it, weren't we? Because it was the AFL Pride game between Sydney Swans and St Kilda. But 71-point win. I think in the first quarter, Sydney was something like 49.
Was it nine goals to one?
Yeah, it was 9 goals to one or 9-1 something.
9-1 to 1-1.
Oh, although $500 from every goal was going to our friends at the Pride Cup, so we were just happy for goals to be kicked,
That's
I think.
A very good point.
Yes. Mm. But yeah, Paul St Kilda didn't do too well. But we'll be playing some of our interviews from the night because we interviewed over 30 people.
We did.
Over a 4-hour broadcast at Etihad Stadium. And really, I think, high-quality guests this year. Not that they have been any... not that they've been low-quality any other year, but, we spoke to some really good people. Essendon versus the Brisbane Lions. Luke Hodge nearly knocked your captain's head off.
Did he? I didn't see any of it. I was at work on Sunday. So.
Arm straight on the head, ran straight towards him. It didn't get suspended.
No.
What?
It was deemed they were both going for the ball.
Yeah.
It was typical. I say you can take Luke Hodge out of the Hawthorn jumper, but he still hates Essendon.
Yeah,
that's my theory.
That's right.
That's the old saying.
And that's the old saying that I just invented.
But I'm happy we got 4 points. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's right. Dockers Crows. You know what? I must have tuned out just before the siren because I thought it was a 9-point loss, but it was a 3-point loss.
My team's in a state, Fiona. Yes. We are in a right state.
Yes, what's going on with the Crows? And your Sarah Perkins bobblehead broke today.
I know, which, you know, when I thought the injury list couldn't get worse.
I know, neck awareness.
We have so many injuries, it's just not even a joke. Plus, I reckon that, I'm not a psychologist, but... I reckon that losing that grand final really rattled them.
I reckon pre-season camp rattled a few people too. Apparently Eddie Betts came out and said he's still a bit traumatised from pre-season camp.
And poor old
what happened?
We don't know. Well, that's the whole thing.
They took them blindfolded, 20-hour drive, and got them listening to Richmond theme song.
But apparently there's a whole lot of stuff they just won't talk about.
Yeah, but some of it's leaked out.
And then poor Eddie copped another bout of racism this week, horrible. Which is just outrageous.
Sorry, Eddie, because you are such a champion of the game. You deserve better than that. And, of course, the Pies versus Demons, 133 points to 91. Collingwood looked good.
They look great. I really enjoyed that game. I couldn't work out if it says more about how good Collingwood is or maybe that Melbourne's not as good as we thought they were. I don't know.
They're very, historically Melbourne are very inconsistent, aren't they? Did they ever look likely? I'm just looking at the score. No.
There was little flashes of okay, but and turns out Mason Cox isn't a joke. He can actually play, so that's good.
Yes, that's correct.
Good news, Mason.
All right, in a moment we're going to be playing you one of our great interviews of the night with Jason Ball from Pride Cup and Bowie from Proud to Play. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Hey, I'm Mikey from Saints Pride and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
So, Footy Christmas continues.
Gay Footy Christmas.
Gay Footy Christmas. It's the AFL Pride game and I'm delighted now to have joined us Jason Ball from Pride Cup Australia and Bowie Stover from Proud to Play. So, thank you both for coming.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Bowie.
Thank you.
Now, you guys have been wandering around a little bit, probably out in the crowd. How is it like out there?
The atmosphere is amazing. I don't know if Bowie, you got to see when the players ran out onto the ground, but we had all of the kids from minus 18 forming the Guard of Honour, and they had these fireworks go off and rainbow streamers like fly from the level 3. It was absolutely
awesome.
Amazing.
That is very incredible. Rad.
Yeah.
And so, Jason, Pride Cup Australia has just been launched on Wednesday. Tell us what happened, what's going on there.
Absolutely. Well, your listeners may know that, you know, the Pride game, it started from humble grassroots beginnings in the Pride Cup out in Yarra Glen. And now that game has inspired not only this game at the national level, but a whole lot of games at the grassroots. Up to 11 games this year are happening across Victoria, from Shepparton to Gippsland to Hamilton to Geelong, in the VFL, in the VFLW, in men's footy, in women's footy. And all of these games are you know, having tremendous impacts on their local community, but they're also, they need support. A lot of them are reinventing the wheel every time that they organise their games. So the idea of Pride Cup Australia is to create how-to guides and resources and education to empower local clubs to hold their own Pride Cup so that we can actually take this initiative to scale into more footy clubs and more towns across Australia.
And it's not just footy clubs, is that right?
Absolutely. Our vision is to expand into other codes, and we're already having conversations with Cricket Victoria, with Hockey Victoria, with tennis. And so I think regardless of the code, regardless of what state you're in, when it comes to team sports, we see similar problems with the culture around homophobia and transphobia, and so many opportunities to transform that. And that's what the Pride Cup allows us to do.
So, Bowie, you're a fitness specialist and you grew up in regional Queensland, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, tonight we've got the program here in Melbourne. How important do you think events like this are for example, regional parts of Australia?
Oh, I think they're so important. I think coming from my background of not having any opportunity to have a role model that was within the sporting community was something that I really struggled with. And I think having young people these days be able to see athletes at this sort of level and thinking that they actually have the opportunity to aspire to that is just astounding.
And you obviously, you work with Proud to Play. Yep. So when we do hear a lot about young LGBTI people being excluded or feeling that they should exclude themselves from sport or physical activity, so what does Proud to Play do to improve this?
So we work with community sporting organisations to create inclusive policies so that then young people, especially trans and gender diverse, have the opportunity to join a sport and know that they're going to be understood and there's going to be a support from the top level all the way down. So right from the community sporting club organisers all the way down to the players, they're all going to have an understanding of how they can support the individual.
And we were just talking in our previous interview how important it is for people to see themselves on the field. So it would be great for people of that community to see that, you know, we can play and it's great and it's exciting and we can use our bodies to do these amazing sporting events.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's the most amazing thing to see. Yeah.
Now, your two organisations work reasonably closely. Well, James Lolicato was at Proud to Play up until recently, now over at Pride Cup Australia. So how do you manage that sort of thing working together?
Yeah, well, the two organisations complement each other really well because Proud to Play is all about going out there and finding young LGBTI kids with a particular focus on trans and gender diverse young people and actively getting them engaged in sport. So running come and try sessions that are really open and inclusive. Whereas Pride Cup, we're out there going out into mainstream sporting clubs and helping them become more LGBTI inclusive by holding Pride Cups, by doing education. And so it's one thing to have young people coming and trying sport and saying, yeah, I love this sport, but they also need a club to go into. And so with both of these organisations working together, it creates a pathway, I guess, for young people who have been engaged through the programs at Proud to Play Run to actually make sure that the rest of mainstream sport is up to scratch so that they can welcome them when they want to come and be involved in their club, and whether as a player or as a volunteer or a supporter.
So you talk about education. How do you, Jason, and also you, Bowie, how do you infiltrate clubs and other organisations with education?
Well, Proud to Play, we have the Pride...
Putting you on the spot.
I can't remember what it's called. I should know what it's called because I talk about it so often. The Inclusion of Sport Guidelines.
There it is.
So we go and approach clubs. A lot of the time they often approach us because we can't really make them be inclusive. So if they want to come and learn from us, we have the inclusion policy that we present to them. We hold a workshop and we speak to the club members who want to come along and they learn from that. And then they go out and create their own guidelines following those rules to suit their club and then implement those practices.
And education is also a really key part of the Pride Cup. You know, it's one thing to have a rainbow 50-metre line, but that's not necessarily going to solve the problem of homophobia or transphobia in sport. And so the idea around the Pride Cup is to ensure that we engage with the players and the coaches in education so that we can empower them to challenge homophobia so that more LGBTI people can access all of the health and wellbeing benefits of community sport. And we do that a lot through storytelling. You know, I think it's really good to be able to share the stories of LGBTI people, their experiences in sport, their experiences of inclusion, their experiences of exclusion, but also really important, talking about how affirming it is for LGBTI people when they are involved in sport. One story that we share a lot in the education programs we run is that of Emily Rowe. She's a transgender footballer who played at Shepparton and now she's at the St Kilda Sharks. And when she transitioned, playing footy for the women, amongst the women, as a woman, was one of the most affirming experiences of her life.
Because liberating, I guess, for her.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, she forms there's a bit of a contrast. It's important to share lots of different stories, but, you know, Hannah Mountsey has been at the forefront of the conversation around trans inclusion in sport. And stories like Emily's don't often get told because Emily's the average height of your average woman. You know, she just blends in and fits in. And so, and she's someone who probably gets knocked out by the women more so than she did when she was playing with the men. And it breaks down a lot of those stereotypes about, you know, competitive advantage and things that get thrown around when it comes to trans people and their involvement in sport.
I think as well with personalised stories, often people that you're talking to and trying to educate regarding these issues, they can still identify something within that story. And I think that makes the message clearer and easier to be able to put forward.
Yeah, it's personal stories that really allow people to kind of put themselves into someone else's shoes. And so, for example, when we were down in Shepparton and Maroopna Football Club, I actually went along to the club and I brought along a local from that community who was a woman and she was gay and she'd played football. And we both shared our stories to the players. And she talked about, you know, as a gay woman, how wonderful it was for her to play football at Melbourne Uni. But then when she went back to Shepparton, she felt a lot of trepidation. She wasn't sure if she could hold her hand in the street. There was a lot of unspoken things around gay women playing sport. And the Pride Cup was actually an opportunity for the women in that environment to actually have that conversation. And for the players at Maroopna and Shepparton to actually hear real people telling their stories, talking about why they loved sport and the ways in which that people in those environments can change the culture and the language so that it's more inclusive and more accepting, you know, that's how you affect culture change.
I'm Tynan Winmar and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
No, Tynan Winmar.
We love Tynan.
Last seen on a podium with you, Beck, I believe, on Saturday night.
Fact.
Dance like no one's watching.
Oh, danced like everyone was watching.
You wanted to make sure everyone was watching. So,
where are we? Tell us about the MND. I didn't see any of that. So tell us about the slide and what people wore and all of that.
Well, I watched some of the replays.
I watched the whole thing. Ask me anything.
My favourite was Clarko, of course, but I honestly laughed out loud when I saw it because he dressed up as John Longmire and then put a horse head on and went down the slide.
That was great.
Classic.
Did they all dress up?
Yeah, they all dressed up. My two favourites were Ken Hinckley, who came dressed as a panda.
Just because?
No, because of Shanghai, because they play in Shanghai.
Oh, gosh.
He had this huge panda head. And my other favourite was Brad and Chris Scott, who just swapped T-shirts. So Chris was wearing a North Melbourne T-shirt. Because when they came out, I was like, why are they just wearing their club T-shirts and jeans? And then I was like, hilarious. Oh, they've swapped because lol.
Yeah.
The same one could have just come out and done it twice.
Well, that's what they were saying. Then they were like, is it the same one? I don't know.
Now, the Cray twins were the violent English gangster brothers, and the Scott boys used to be called that.
Well, actually, another one that was
fun
fact. Damien Hardwick wore a T-shirt that said, I love Mrs. Hardwick.
Yeah, oh, that's cute,
that
too.
Cute. And then Chris Fagan, of course, ripped his hammy.
Oh, my God.
Tore it off the bone.
Ooh.
Matthew Lloyd style.
That's like hamstring awareness times 10.
But it was great. And they raised like nearly $7 million or something.
Did they?
Because the government doubled what they'd made or something.
Neil Danaher is a gun, isn't he?
Oh, what a beautiful man.
Yeah, the whole family.
Best Danaher player, my dad used to say, by a mile.
I was going to say.
But he did his knee too badly too.
Do you choose a favourite Danaher? Like, how does it work?
Yes.
Yeah, Neil.
Well, I wasn't around to watch Neil much, but my dad, who is a good judge of players, reckons Neil. Terry was mine.
Yeah, right. Tez. We have had a few memberships come in.
Okay.
So, as we know, we're trying to, you know, equate these to footballers. So we've had Johnny from Melbourne. Johnny Platton.
Easy.
Hawthorne legend. We've had Michael from Fitzroy.
Michael Tuck.
Oh, yeah, Michael.
Was there a Michael Hurley?
Collins?
Michael Hurley, yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, what was the...
Mick McGuan.
Okay.
Well, that's a technicality.
Mikey Cole.
Mikey Cole from Saints Pride. Yeah, all right.
All right, then we've got...
Kevin from Point Cook. Kevin Bartlett.
Kevin Bartlett.
Kevin Bulldog Murray.
Oh, good one. That is a very good call. And congratulations on full name.
Thank you.
Now, Kevin Applett.
Oh.
Well, I didn't know that.
I'm sure it's... there were obviously Gary, but Jeff and Kevin was the third brother. Well,
there you go.
Luckily, I've got a machine standing by.
They're called smartphones, Moddy.
That can tell me...
Damien from St Kilda East.
Oh,
Damien Monkhorst.
Oh, of course.
I'm good at this.
You are. Damien
Hardwick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Kevin Ablett, Australian footballer. Thank you, friends.
Wow. So keep the memberships coming in. Yeah. Give us a bit more of a challenge.
So far, we're 100 for 100.
We are. We got through Doxy, which I was worrying about for a minute there.
We had to go. It was kind of like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, isn't it?
It was.
Oh, there you go. Kevin Bacon. Oh, he didn't play.
Now, we're going to play for you another interview that we, or some chats that we had with a couple of guests at the AFL Pride Game broadcast. Obviously, the last chat with Jason Ball and Bowie from Proud to Play was a lot about the Pride Cup movement and what's happening there. But there's also what's beautiful about that is that local clubs have started to embrace this, and Charles Beaton is actually doing hosting for the second year in a row a Pride game up in Hamilton, and
next weekend
June 23rd,
that's right, Saturday.
Saturday. And then Michelle Redfern is a new friend of ours. She is on the board of the Williamstown Football Club, and they just ran a Pride game for the first time about 2 or 3 weeks ago at their club. And she said, you know, for a traditionally conservative club to come out and do this was a massive sort of progression for them. So let's have a listen to what they had to say about their local Pride games. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We are live at Etihad Stadium this evening. I'm Fiona. With me is Bree. And we have two very special guests with us tonight. We're having a great night here. We have Charles Beaton, President, CEO, empire builder of Gay, That's Okay. And we have Michelle Redfern, who is on the board of the Williamstown Football Club. Welcome, both of you, to the AFL Pride.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And you're both wearing your Pride colours.
Yeah, very much. All rainbowed up.
Loud and proud.
Loud and proud.
Well, as I heard during the week, it's Gay Christmas.
It's
right?
Gay. We call it the LGBTI AFL Christmas. So it's good to get the family together tonight.
Absolutely.
Now, both of you have coordinated and set up Pride games at your local football club. Michelle, you're at Williamstown, and Charles, you've done that down at Hamilton. I have seen so much about how these Pride games have shifted attitudes in the community, but what effect has it had on your clubs as you've done these games?
Yeah, I think for Hamilton, it's had a huge impact on them in an area where it's relatively conservative, where being out and having issues with your sexuality and gender would never have been talked about at the kitchen table, let alone on the front page of the Hamilton Spectator. So last year we saw a lot of stories of people actually coming out and telling their story about, you know, how it's okay. It was actually okay for them once they came out, and the support they had for their family. So for Hamilton, it's changed a lot because people are now educated that, you know, it could be their friend or their brother or their sister that's going through issues with their sexuality or gender, and we just need to be there for them.
It was funny. I remember last year you coordinated that with Annie Nolan, wife of Liam Picken at the Bulldogs. And, you know, you both grew up in the town, so you experienced some homophobia growing up. And she said that as a result, she believes, of the Pride game, that Hamilton had a higher yes vote than her inner city electorate.
Yep.
Which, you know, you would assume would be unheard of before something like this had happened.
Absolutely.
So it is amazing how it does shift attitudes. Have you found that too, Michelle, down at...
Charles and I were just talking about it before we came on, and I think it's early days. We had our first Pride match only 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
So you changed the whole town.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's like, you know, world domination's next. But, so we haven't seen the results yet. However, I can say, you know, it's a year of first for Williamstown, first women's team in 155 years.
Wow. Is there a female coach as well?
Yes. And, Amy Catterall Carroll's our head coach, so we are taking the taking on the 155 years of tradition, male tradition, and then to throw in a pride match, which I've got to say, people are giving me a lot of credit for, but I kind of jumped on the bandwagon because our CEO Jason Redick, who is, as he calls himself, a middle-aged white straight guy, he gets it. You know, he gets what it means to be inclusive, which is one of our values. And he said, you know, so that means we've got to appeal to everyone in our community. So people from all walks of life, women, LGBTIQ plus people, culturally diverse people, and this is just, you know, this is the first step. So that's a long way of saying a little bit early to tell, but even the conversations around the week of the Pride game were, oh, okay, so, right, yes. And the boys, our men's squad, because we had it as a standalone female game, they went, hang on a minute, we want in on this. So next year it'll be a double header, it'll be a male and a female game, and we've already got people lining up, you know, councillors and whatever, you go, excuse me, we want to be on board. So, you know, I think that's that. Those are the early signals that there's some attention, and I think where there's attention, there's opportunity. You know, I always say where there's volume, there's voice, where there's voices, change.
Now, Charles and Michelle, so how do you think tonight's game, like AFL Pride, we're now the third year in AFL Pride game, how do you think tonight's game is making a difference to creating a more accepting society?
I think it can make a huge difference in the AFL world because, I mean, having gone to the football a lot over the years myself, it's not a great place to go for those who are struggling, whether it's with your sexuality or your gender or other issues, is homophobia has been rampant. It still is, wouldn't say rampant, but depending where you're sitting in the ground. So, you know, it's talking about these stories and getting these real stories out because people react to real stories. So they'll react to the story of my brother who struggled with his sexuality and considered ending his life because he hated the person that he was. They will react to those stories and they'll be able to relate to those stories. So these Pride games make a huge difference from that perspective. And people look up to our football, let's be honest. So if ever there's going to be some role models that people will look up to and maybe consider changing their behaviour, I think AFL is where it's at.
Well, I mean, in reality, inclusion is a thing that's not just about our community. It's about gender inclusion, inclusion around race and Indigenous. It's the same theme, really, you know, around all of it. Mm. So when we can educate people about, you know, inclusion, it really does mean not just us.
Yeah.
Oh, and look, Charles is absolutely right. And the day of our Pride lunch, we had Wade Noonan, who's our local MP, and I said when I was talking to the crowd, I said, look, I'm awfully sorry, Wade, as much as we love you and revere you and you're our number one ticket holder, I've got to tell you that the wider community takes more notice of our footballing and sporting heroes than they do of politicians. So sport is a great social equaliser. But in line with what Charles has said, you know, there are very few games that I front up to on my own. Certainly where Rhonda, my wife, and I would come and sit in the gay bay, you know, this is awesome. Hey, it's our night. But, you know, footy hasn't been welcoming necessarily for anyone who's a bit different from that archetypal, very testosterone-driven middle-aged white dude, with all the greatest respect to middle-aged white dudes. So, you know, this is social change. We're seeing it unfold in front of our eyes. And look, every great social change or civil rights movement in the world has had a catalyst and then continuing effort. So this has got to be continuing. It's not a once and done.
Now, Charles, last year we had obviously the Hamilton Pride and Inclusion Day, which was a success. What have been some of the changes that you've noticed or some of the positive stories that have come out of that?
I mean, there was lots of positive stories that came out of that day. I think a couple of weeks after our game, we had a transgender woman come out to, or teen come out to her dad, who'd been struggling for, you know, basically her entire life, and her dad just did not know what was wrong. And he read the stories about our game and other people who had come out, and he worked up the courage to ask whether, you know, she was okay, and she came out as a transgender woman. Like, that's huge. You know, the chances now of May having a happy and you know, fulfilling life are huge compared to what they were a year ago when she wouldn't get out of her room, didn't go to school, hated everything about herself. So, I mean, there's one massive thing, and I think, you know, as Fee said before, the fact that Hamilton as a region had a 70% yes vote, which is higher than a lot of Melbourne areas, is huge. Where you know, the local MP was not supportive for the rest of the electorate to come out and support like that is massive. So, you know, those sort of things are making a big difference.
Now, obviously, the second one's, we're back again with Hamilton Pride and Inclusion Day, and it's coming up. What can we, on the 23rd of June, what can we expect from the day?
Yeah, look, it's bigger and better. It's looking massive. We've got another huge lunch, which is headlined by Daniel Kowalski, you know, gold medalist swimmer. So the local LGBTI group wanted to get someone of his ilk to come down and talk, and someone to be just a huge positive role model. So I think that's just going to be sensational to listen to him and his battles throughout his career. And we've got Russell Green talking again, which will be amazing. Darabin are playing Melbourne Uni in the women's football as the centrepiece this year. So
two top clubs.
There's another, you know, another thing that's come out of here is the Hamilton Footy Club has gone, okay, the women's is the number one game here.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's put them on second because that's what people are coming here to watch. So that's huge.
Men on as the curtain raiser.
Men are the curtain raiser. So that has changed in the space of a year. So how's, you know, the young women footballers in Hamilton are now going, well, they're actually, this is real. They're taking us seriously.
Now, speaking of which, yeah, it seems that when it comes to inclusion, women lead the way. Why do you think that is the case?
I think,
other than us being awesome,
well, of course we are. That's just that doesn't need to be said. I think that in a lot of cases, the communities that are excluded, often the burden of inclusion is placed on them. So women are and LGBTI people, you know, activist movements are led by the people who have been excluded. So we step in and go, well, bugger this, I'm not going to, you know, put up with being excluded for the rest of my life. And, you know, there are always movers and shakers in every community. So it's like, that's why we step in and say, righto, time to get stuff done. So that's kind of a trite answer in the time that we've got, but I think it's the all of us who say, I don't want to be excluded.
Yeah.
Let's do something about it.
That's right. So the lesson for everyone is listen to the women.
Absolutely. You've got to, don't you?
Yeah.
I do at home.
You're outnumbered.
Yeah.
G'day, I'm Harry Cunningham from the Sydney Swans, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy.
I love Harry Cunningham. G'day. He just tells it like it is, doesn't he?
Oh, good old Hazza.
He was great. Bree and I talked to him a few weeks ago and he was fabulous.
So you are with Motti, you're with Beck and you're with Fee and we're still Chicks Talking
Footy.
We're
the triple trio. We were on last week.
We're a triple threat.
We're a triple threat.
It's a trifecta.
We've had some more messages
come
in. Oh,
excellent. So names,
we'll
please.
We'll try and find footballers for them. So we've had Sarah from Essendon.
Sarah
Perkins.
Sarah. Oh, good one. Sarah. Carlton. Sarah Hosking.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
There has to be more Sarahs in the AFLW.
Sarah. If only we had our prospectus.
Oh, yes.
Next time.
That's cheating.
Ned from Yarraville.
Ned. Oh, has Ned stumped us?
Ned Kelly, Craig.
Ned Kelly.
It's a loose, it's kind of, yeah, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon again.
Because there's Ned, I mean, there's Eddies and there's Eds.
Ned.
But I don't know if there's a Ned. Anyway.
No.
Okay. But that's good radio.
Maybe,
any more?
SMS us 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au if you know a Ned who's ever played football.
And another Sarah.
And we've also had Deb from Richmond. So Debbie Lee.
Debbie Lee.
Yep, that's it.
Bang, bang.
Pioneer of women's football.
And thank you so much for your membership and having a name that's associated with football.
That's right. I want the guys out there getting the memberships in the phone room to get some more for us for our competition.
Yeah, this is fun.
Pump it up, guys. Pump it up.
Pump up the jam. So.
We're musical now. Oh, now hang on. Excursions. Time for CTF excursions.
I love our excursion time.
We do. Yeah. We often go on excursions down to the when the comedy festival's on. We just wander down to some comedy.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
You know, we go to football games just spontaneously.
Beck, you went to something last weekend.
I did. We all went to Pride Game on Saturday.
Yeah, we did.
On Sunday, I emceed the lunch. Thank you. I'm doing very well for myself.
We need to hire you out
for the first VFL Pride Game. So that was between the...
Is that the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was there. Mm. That was between the Sandringham Dragons and the Frankston Dolphins.
And how would you rate your performance?
Oh, look, I had some people tell me I was the best MC they'd ever had at Frankston. No, at Sandringham.
Well, at a VFL Pride game.
At their first VFL Pride game.
I'm like the best MC they've ever had at a VFL Pride game. No, actually, we...
none taken.
We put a post up about that on our Instagram, and it was a very popular post.
Yeah, well,
Who else?
I'm a popular gal.
Who did you talk to, Beck?
So, Ro Allen spoke. And then I hosted a panel, which was Sam Gilbert, Essendon, St Kilda footballer. It's been a big week. Maybe I've broken a trade that no one knows about yet.
We were quite pleased that he was injured so we could talk to him at the Pride game.
Yes. So Sam Gilbert, our good friend Tynan Winmar.
Correct.
Coin tosser extraordinaire. James Lillicato from the Pride Cup. And Hannah Mountsey, which was great. And I have to say, one of the really nice things was there was a lot of sort of older men, it was that sort of demographic, but the number of them that came up to Hannah afterwards and said they should find your place to play footy and were really supportive of her, I thought was really nice to see.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I don't think that demographic probably is something that she would connect with easily.
No, it's okay. I guess so.
But it was great. There was a really great reception. So it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Oh, look, from what I saw on social media, I tell you what, I didn't have the energy to do another Pride game, so good on you.
Can I ask you about the catering just quickly, chicken or beef? Or?
Well, no. So there was it was good.
Range.
It was
self-sourcing pudding.
It was good for those who'd had a big Pride game the night before because there was a number of Bay Maries, bear with me.
No. Winning.
With different kinds of pasta. So there was a gnocchi, ravioli.
Bolognese, standard bolognese somewhere.
There was
a
spag bol, yep. There was garlic bread.
Oh, that's your favourite.
Yeah, I loved it. I went sick on the garlic bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's everything that absorbs alcohol in your system.
There was salad for those who were that way inclined. I was not. Anyway, good day.
Well, and we've got now looking forward to a new excursion this weekend. It involves you, Beck, and myself. I am braving the footy with the Dahl family.
Well, the Dahls are in town, Anna Michael, Dahl parentals.
Our clubs are playing each other and I would say probably playing for their finals chances to stay alive.
I reckon whoever loses, kaput.
Goodbye. And well, very hard road from there.
And guess what? My team aren't playing, not even in the entire round, so I can just go and be super relaxed.
Do you see my family as a spectacle of some sort?
I'm really interested to see you with the footy.
Oh, mate.
And what about us sitting together as opposition supporters?
Well, I'll have to be in the middle.
Yeah.
So you could be neutral territory.
I'll wear a Switzerland outfit, red and white.
I like to think, I tell people that I'm okay with people of other clubs sitting near me.
You're inclusive.
I'm not that inclusive.
Well, it's kind of like if you win, you're dancing on someone's grave, and if you lose, it really sucks.
Because I'm a huge gloater. Like, I can't control it. So,
but do you gloat to other people?
Oh, yeah. Anyone.
Oh, no, that's wrong.
Anyone who's around
that's
me.
That's wrong.
I hate those people.
Moni, I was the best MC ever at a VFL Pride game. And if we lose, I just am not good at losing. So we've had some more memberships come in,
goodness,
and these
are tough ones.
Hard. So we've had Christine from Warrenwood.
Christine.
I'm going to say no.
Oh,
I don't have a Christine on me.
Christine,
is there at least
Chris?
Is there a Chris?
Chrissy? Is there a Chrissy?
We're going to have to take that one on notice. We'll come back to that.
Need that prospectus.
Chrissy Tarrant?
Chrissy Tarrant? Yeah, okay.
Sort of. Well, I know Fiona's the judge here.
Chrissy Scott?
That's 21 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Then we've also had, I think it's pronounced Eva, E-W-A. Now, is there an Eva? Oh, there's Alicia Eva.
Yes.
That's her last name, but that could still count.
Yeah, we could go there.
We're going to go with it anyway. Yeah. So
now
thank you.
Now we're after Christine and Ned. Do we have a Christine and Ned in place?
No, we did. Chrissy Tarrant.
And Craig Ned Kelly.
Yeah. Now, don't be so strict because we want to win here.
Straws, yeah.
Do you know what I feel like? I feel like the guys out there in the phone room are just going through their list and finding people with difficult names to get to us.
Doxy and Eva, for sure.
I like it.
Should we have a crack at the games coming up?
Why not?
Why don't we do our quick tips and then we'll come back and do our...
Shall I go?
Go.
Okay. On Friday, Port playing the Bulldogs.
Port.
Yeah.
Another Friday for Port. Am I allowed to make commentary on the way through or is it super...
We'll let you speak.
What level of quickness is it?
Well, the more questions you ask, Moddy, the quicker it's going to have to be.
We've got two minutes.
Oh, there you go. Oh, spread that around. So, okay, Port.
Yeah. Oh, that was your commentary.
That's it.
Okay, yeah, great. Cool. This is going to be good. Sydney versus the Eagles.
Yeah, but at the SCG, which would probably tip me over to Sydney, but, it could be interesting.
That's Friday night, is it?
So Port's on Thursday.
Oh, that's right, Thursday and then Friday.
Floating Breezer will be wrapped.
I reckon Floating Breezer would be happy with those games.
Don't know about the Bulldogs playing Friday night games.
But I think she'll be definitely happy with that one.
But the Bulldogs aren't because that's a Thursday night game.
Yeah. And then Carlton playing the Dockers. I would have thought the Dockers will win that one.
The Carlton's got some news today. It's not signed, but that Cripps and Curno have verbally committed to re-signing with the club.
Yeah. I'd still tip the Dockers.
It's not a
myself,
contract unless it's signed.
Yes. Suns versus St Kilda. Oh. Ooh, bottom of the table clash.
That's a pretty sad game.
You know, I just look at that and I go, I can't even think that the level of talent will be any good either.
As my dad pointed out in a recent email to me, the bottom five teams have won 10 games between them.
Mm.
Out of a possible 57
or something. 87 or 57.
Oh, 87.
So, I'd like St Kilda to win this just for our poor St Kilda friends. Yes. Shout out Mikey Cole.
We wanted to see them in a premiership.
Jack Billings had a cracker game apparently in the VFL. Do you bring him in after 1 week out or not?
I don't know. My friends at the Sandringham, Zebras had a great win. Then it's going to be the Hawks and Crows clash.
Yeah. This is a really hard one to tip, I reckon.
I think Hawthorne will win.
I'm not going to tip because I'm going to be in Crows camp on Saturday night and I think it's safer.
You're Switzerland. And then Cats versus Tigers.
Catties.
I want the Cats to win.
Is it? It's at the MCG.
Geelong's playing a home game at the G.
Okay, Tigers.
All right, in just a moment, we're going to be talking about everything that's on our community notice board here on Chicks Talking Footy, Joy 94.9.
G'day, I'm Russell Green. I'm an ambassador for Stand Up Events, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Rusty.
Thanks. Russ was also a Hawks premiership player.
We've had a couple more memberships, so we can find footballers. So we've had David from Flemington.
So David being a football name.
I'd like to nominate David Pittman, as Malcolm Blight called, the most pitiful ruckman in the AFL.
Isn't that a compliment?
Oh, pitiful Pittman. Pathetic Pittman. Oh, all the P words. David Flood was an Essendon player. David Zaharakis currently is.
Yes, there we go.
David Hale.
Oh, many. Then we've had James from Williamstown.
James Frawley.
James Bartell.
James Blunt.
I just felt I had to say something.
I don't have any James.
Actually one of the best games I've ever been to.
We didn't expect to be playing it either, but...
this game's better than the 2017 grand final.
We are pretty much like theatre sports in this show, aren't we?
we can just chatter on.
Yeah, freeze.
A bit of space jump.
Yeah.
Okay, so... One thing that has been a bit of a theme tonight is Pride Cups that have been launched. It was launched last week at the AFL by Jason Ball and our friend James Lolicato. And there's quite
another James.
Oh, yeah, he's not quite a footballer though, is he?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Just don't limit people, Fiona. And there's quite a few coming up right round Victoria in regional Victoria. Do you want to mention some of those?
I do.
Giles.
I've cut and pasted a bit small, the font. But on Sunday the 17th of June in Gippsland, on Saturday the 23rd of June in Hamilton, also on Saturday the 23rd of June in Shep, on Saturday the 30th of June in Mordialloc.
Oh, hang on, that's a stretch. That's not rural.
No.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
I grew up in Mordialloc and it felt rural at the time, let me tell you.
Sunday the 7th of July in Colac and Saturday the 28th of July in the GC. The Goldie.
Gold Coast. So we're venturing national.
Is that Gold Coast Suns having one?
No, it's just a local Gold Coast.
And
you know what the Gold Coast needs is an LGBTI supporter group.
Well, maybe this will spur them on.
In July, around about the 20-something, Fremantle versus the Bombers at Etihad are having a Pride game.
Oh, it's the 12th.
Of what month? July.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. We better get on to that.
Yes, I know. I know.
Finger on the pulse, people.
Go Bombies.
Yeah. Aren't you proud that your club's involved?
Yes, I am.
I know. Actually, originally, Jason Twiza McSheen was wanting to get the Bombers doing the first Pride game. There was a few things going on. There's another membership.
Challenge.
Oh, this is a challenge.
Money.
Agustinos.
Agustinos.
Okay. I can. The St Kilda guy, Augustine. No. What was his name?
Google it.
He played in the 90s. Oh, short, dark hair. Oh, Augustine.
We'll put it up on our social media. Augustinos.
No, I'm looking.
Are you just going for Gus?
I'm Googling. No, Gus. Oh, I can't get it.
We'll tell everyone about that next week.
Someone will write it in.
Oh, yeah. Message in. Maybe Augustine.
Aussie. What's his name? Aussie. It's from St Kilda. Anyway, his name was Augustine.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Jones.
Augustine Jones.
Yeah.
But wow. That's not Augustinos.
Can't believe you knew that.
Close.
Now, you've been listening to us rabble on all night on Chicks Talking Footy with Fee, Beck and Moddy, and we'll three of us will be back next week. Looking forward to seeing you then. Until then, go Hawks.
Go Crows.
Sign up, renew or extend your Joy membership this Radiothon and you could win our major prize. Premium economy flights for two from any capital city in Australia plus 7 nights accommodation in Los Angeles, courtesy of Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Yes, sign up, renew or extend your Joy membership between May 1 and June 30 to be in the draw. Head to joy.org.au to sign up now or call 1300 JOY 949. Joy, 25 years proud.